God is one who rejoices over one sinner who repents. God said, I created you. And he said, let us make man in our own image, male and female. He created us in his image. We were created for God, and the coin can't repent, the sheep can't repent. So he just simply states, God is joyous over one sinner who repents. But now, this part of the story, he describes repentance. So we can go to school on it, because we must repent to be saved. Repentance is an integral part of turning to the Lord in faith.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue in our short series called Lost and Found from Luke chapter 15. Pastor Scott brings a message titled Lost and Found, the Repentant Heart. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
Turn to Luke 15. Luke chapter 15. We have come to a beloved portion of a beloved portion of God's Word. We've been looking at this chapter, which is loved by God's people. Now we're going to look at, maybe we would say, the heart of it. Someone has called what we're looking at today, verse 11 and following, the lost son. Someone has called it the greatest short story ever written. Luke penned it, you know, but really, I think we'd say the greatest short story ever spoken, because Luke is just transcribing what Jesus Christ spoke. And in fact, in one sense, that's the Bible. Yes, he used 40, at least 40 different authors over 1,500 years from when Moses began to write and John put down the quill, so to speak. 1,500 years, 40 different authors. But the dual authorship of Scripture is so evident. There's one author. This is God's Word. And it's exciting to turn to it. And as we just did, ask him to speak to our hearts right now. So if some of that was just preliminary to you, let me pause and say, ask him right now. Open my eyes, that I might see wonderful things from your word. Now, let me remind you, this is a three-part parable. Jesus, in verse 3, said, or Luke writes, he told them this parable, this story, but it has three stories to it, and we've looked at the first two, and each one underline this great theme that lost ones can be found. Lost ones can be saved. And what we're going to see now as we jump right back into it at verse 11, I want to remind you that Jesus is, I don't know if I want to say countering what they said in verse 2. The religious ones, the self-righteous people in their own minds, said, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And I don't know if Jesus is countering that or just saying yes. But that's what he's addressing. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save the lost. He stated that. And I think that's the theme of Luke. In one sense, you could say it's the theme of the Bible. But Luke 19:10, the Son of Man, that's his favorite self-designation, he said, has come to seek and to save the lost. So don't let anybody ever say that, well, lost and saved, that's kind of old-fashioned lingo. No, it's eternal lingo. It's eternal, the eternal words of our Lord Jesus Christ. So keep that in mind, and then let's just read from verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. And he did it. He divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now, when he'd spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be in need. And he went and attached himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he was longing to fill his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating. And no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I'm dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. If the sheep was lost in wandering, and the coin was lost at home, the first two stories or parts of this one parable that Jesus told. One was lost wandering, one was lost right at home. The son is lost in rebellion. It's one of the more showy ways to be lost. You can be lost any number of ways. There's only one way to be found, to be saved. But this guy is lost in rebellion. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. Don't just read over that. I think in any culture, that's an ugly statement, but in that culture, It's been said, it's like he was saying, I wish you were dead. I could have my stuff, my inheritance. But to say this, his hearers, Jesus' hearers, would have been shocked to hear this young son say, give me my share of the inheritance. It's ugly. It's an affront in every way. But he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, didn't take him too long. I don't know what he had to do, you know, the paperwork, get the stuff, try to get the highest market for what he could liquidate and get it all gathered together. But it wasn't too long. Didn't take him too long. Not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country, got as far away as possible. And there he squandered his estate with wild, evil, loose living, debauched living. Later in the chapter, we're told he spent the wealth with prostitutes. He just plunged in, lived the way he wanted to live. And I don't know. I don't think he probably, usually rebellion doesn't start by just saying, I'm going to make a mess of my life. I doubt he thought that. I think he said, I'm going to live it up. I'm going to really live. And there's always voices telling you, come on, live. And it's a liar's voice. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. He deals in death. Jesus Christ came that they might have life and have it abundantly, real life. But I think this guy probably thought he was moving into real life, like people say. This is really living. And they often are duped. Maybe you are duped by the idea that church, Christians, it's so stifling. I want to do my own thing. Anyway, regardless, I think there was probably a process, though we're told it happened, he didn't take long, and then he plunged in. But just listen to the Book of Wisdom that starts out, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. But then just listen. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and don't forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they're a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, don't consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. We did it. We just walked in and we just took this stuff. We can shoplift. Come on, do it. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious wealth. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. My son, do not walk with them. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. No, I think it was probably a process, but we know back in our text that when he'd spent everything, verse 14, when he had spent everything, the economy changed. That happens. The weather changes. That happens. The climate changes. That happens. A severe famine occurred in that country. And he began to be in need, I'll say. Verse 15, he went out and attached himself to one of the citizens of that country. He sent him into his fields to feed swine. A Jewish boy feeding swine. I mean, this is low. Jesus, with economy of words, moves from his rebellion, doing his own thing, to where it led. And he was longing to fill his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating. And no one was giving him anything to eat. He hit bottom. He spent everything. He maxed out his credit cards. He had nothing left. And so he gets a job feeding swine. He didn't plan this. That's not what he wanted. I was on a shuttle bus at the airport, and it was early in the morning, about 7:30, something like that. And the next place it stopped, this guy, middle-aged guy, got his luggage on, and then he turned around and got this big metal case and drug it on. And it just ran through my mind, you know, another city, another sales presentation. And it just felt that way, you know, just the way he wrestled this big metal case on and got on, and he sat on across from me. And I just smelled the alcohol, you know, and the red face. And I just thought, wow, it's 7:30. And I thought, when he started, that's not what he was shooting for. When he just plunged down that pathway, however he did it. We say plunged, but maybe he didn't plunge, but it became more and more of an issue. And it just ran through my mind. Marriage didn't go too well. In fact, they finally divorced. And then he did rehab. And I just walked through imaginary. I don't know what his situation was, but it sure looked bleak. And there's people all around us. Maybe you. On the outside, you know, you still hold a job. You're still hanging in there, but inside, you just carved out. And when he didn't really look at me as I looked at him. It just, actually, this whole scene brings that back to my memory. And there are a lot of people that are lost in rebellion. And this boy was a picture of that. But look at verse 17. But from 17 to 24, we're going to see the heart of real repentance. And we're going to see the heart of God toward a repentant one. Now, the theme of this chapter isn't just lost and saved and the rejoicing. No, the theme of this chapter also includes this word, this concept, this necessity of repentance. when the shepherd went out and sought that sheep until he found it, Jesus said, I tell you, in the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 who didn't need any repentance in their own mind. When the gal searched and sought and found that coin and said, rejoice with me, I found my lost coin. Jesus said, I tell you, he stepped out of the story twice already and said, there is great joy in heaven. God is one who rejoices over one sinner who repents. Now, so far, he's just mentioned it. A coin can't repent. It's an inanimate object. A sheep can't repent. It's a beast of the field. Big distinction, whether our world knows it or not, between animal life and those created in the image of God. We're not just an animal. We've been trying to say that for about 150 years. It's not working out too well. We're acting like animals, beasts. Bloodshed and misery is in our path, and emptiness and vanity and the bleakness of just saying it just all happened and we're just, no. God said, I created you. And he said, let us make man in our own image, male and female. He created us in his image. We're created for God, and the coin can't repent, the sheep can't repent. So he just simply states, God is joyous over one sinner who repents. But now, this part of the story, he describes repentance. So we can go to school on it, because we must repent to be saved. Repentance is an integral part of turning to the Lord in faith. I remember I was at a conference, and one of the leaders came to me and said, are we saved by faith alone? Are we saved by faith and repentance? He made an appointment, came into my room, and he asked, are we saved by faith alone, or are we saved by faith and repentance? And I said, yes. And then we had a fairly good discussion about the truth that God is calling all men everywhere to repent. Because he's fixed a day in which he'll judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. That's the Apostle Paul. When John the Baptist came on the scene, what did he say? Repent!
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled, Lost and Found, A Repentant Heart, a message from the 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. If you don't have a church home in the area, we'd like to invite you to join us for our outdoor summer services. Coming this August 7th, you can join us for our annual Southwest Bible Car Show. Come and browse around the field covered with hundreds of sport, vintage, and collector cars. The event begins at 4:30 p.m., followed by our outdoor evening service at 6. For more information or to register a car, go over to our website at swbible.org, or you can call the church at 503-524-7000. We hope to see you there. We're continuing to see new growth in the Romans Project on the continent of Africa. Recently, we've added the countries of Guinea, Mali, Togo, and Ivory Coast to the ever-expanding outreach of the project. We'd like to invite you to learn more about this ministry or become a partner with us as we minister to pastors and church leaders throughout Africa. Just navigate over to romansproject.org or connect with us at facebook.com/romansproject. We're thankful that you've chosen to listen to us on this station. And we invite you to downtownbible.org to download or listen to any past program or to subscribe to our daily podcast. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
Repentance isn't mere regret. It's not mere remorse. Judas Iscariot had remorse. It's not merely reform. Came to his senses and said, I'm going to go to rehab. I'll do 12 steps one more time. No. He came to his senses and he turned. You turn in repentance, not merely away from your sin. I've seen people do that. You can clean the act up, and Jesus warned, your house is just clean for the next invasion. No, you turn not just from sin, you turn to God.
Join us again next time as we continue in Luke 15. Pastor Scott brings part 8 in our series with a message titled, Lost and Found, A Repentant Heart. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.